Good afternoon and welcome to this news event hosted by the law firm Piper, Roska, Wolf, Abdullah, Carr, and Kane, PRW for short. You'll be hearing from two speakers today, and before we introduce them individually, I'd like to bring the operator back on the line to explain how the Q&A portion of today's call will work. Operator?
During the question and answer session, you may ask a question by pressing star and then one on your touchtone phones. If you would like to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Again, that is star and then one to ask a question.
Thanks very much. And we'll repeat those instructions about how members of the news media can post questions at the start of the Q&A period. As I mentioned, you'll be hearing from two speakers today. First speaker will be Joe Piper with PRW, and the second speaker will be Cleveland attorney Lydia Floyd of PRW. Let's begin with our first speaker today, Joe Piper. Joe?
Hello, everyone. As you've heard, my name is Joe Piper. I'm the managing shareholder at the law firm of Piper, Roska, Wolf. We are here today to announce that we are amending our complaint in the Court of Common Pleas, Cuyahoga County, Ohio, asking Judge John P. O'Donnell to appoint an independent monitor to oversee the embryo loss crisis at University Hospitals Fertility Clinic. I'll refer to that as UH or UHFC for short. We do two things in this amended pleading. First, we call for an independent monitor to oversee the storage system for the eggs and embryos at UH. The community members we've talked to, the potential clients we've talked to, and the clients that we have been affected by this have lost faith in UH's ability to store these embryos. The course of events that have become apparent over the past month has led everyone to lose faith. First, UH comes out and says that some of the embryos are viable and that only 2,000 embryos were affected and 750 families were affected. Now, about a month later, we hear that 4,000 eggs and embryos were destroyed and nearly 1,000 families were affected. When it comes to the storage tanks, they've just shown themselves to be either unwilling or unable to protect these eggs and embryos that the families and individuals that sought IVF treatment at UH entrusted to them. People affected by this may want UH's offering for them to come back and go through other cycles, other IVF cycles. People in the community may want to go to UH to go get IVF cycles. While we don't think there's anything wrong with the doctors or nurses at UH, in fact, we think they're very good people, the storage system and the storage facility and their policies and procedures relating to the storage facility are obviously woefully inadequate. And in order for these families and members of the community to trust that UH can safeguard their most precious property, we need to have someone in there that is going to oversee these policies and procedures, make sure they're being implemented in the right way, make sure they have backup plans, and make sure that something like this never, ever happens again. The second part of the amendment of our case makes clear that what we are doing is filing a class action with respect to the liability portion or fault portion of the case. UH did what they did or did not do caused the destruction of all 4,000 of these eggs and embryos. How each family has been affected, that is unique as each family. And so each family, should they want to do so, should have the opportunity to meet with UH and try and settle their cases individually and tell their story, try their case to a judge individually to tell their story, or otherwise be able to prosecute their case individually if that's what they choose. If they choose to remain in a class action, that is also their choice, but we feel strongly that families that have been affected by this should also have the opportunity to tell their unique story to either UH or a judge or jury. And that our filing on that makes that very clear. I'm going to turn this over to Lydia Floyd, who's going to talk a little bit more about some of the other things that we're going to be asking that UH does. And we really believe these are basic common sense things that should be done.
Thank you. My name is Lydia Floyd, and I am an attorney here in PRW's Cleveland office. As you just heard Joe explain, the PRW filing asks the court to appoint an independent monitor to oversee the UH's Fertility Center's recovery process with a focus on preventing any further harm to families who have eggs and embryos stored at the center. Here's what that means in more specific terms. The PRW filing also seeks a number of other safeguards, including 24-hour staffing, backup freezers or tanks, backup generators or uninterrupted power supply systems, alarms, continuously monitored internally by the facility and monitored externally by a third party detecting any out-of-range temperature fluctuation or fluctuation in the levels of liquid nitrogen in the tanks, and an emergency preparedness plan in the case of any potentially devastating event, such as a power outage, fire, or flood. As Joe previously mentioned, UHSC fell short on most of these things before the crisis took place, and they appear to have directly contributed to the catastrophic loss of embryos and eggs. Keep in mind, this is based only on what we know now and what has been disclosed up to this point. There could be even more problems that we will find, and that is an alarming concern. For the nearly 1,000 individuals and families involved here who had their eggs and embryos destroyed, we need a third-party expert to make sure that this situation is now handled properly. Every week seems to bring new revelations of what went wrong and what we need an independent monitor to come in and oversee the storage process. Our clients need peace of mind. Putting an independent monitor in place can provide that peace and further our clients' hopes that this should never, ever happen again. Thank you. That concludes my statement.
Thank you. And again, that was Attorney Lydia Floyd with PRW in Cleveland. That takes us to the Q&A portion of the call. I'd like to invite the operator back on the line to explain how the reporters listening in today can pose their questions. Operator, can you repeat those instructions?
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and then one on a touch-tone phone. If you do decide to withdraw your question, you may press star and then two to remove yourself from the question queue. We do ask that you please limit yourselves to one question and a single follow-up. If you do need to ask an additional question, please know that you may press star and one to rejoin the question queue.
Thanks very much, operator. While we're waiting for our first question, I'd like to make sure that the reporters on the line know that they can connect with any of the speakers hearing on this call today by connecting with Patrick Mitchell after the call at 703-276-3266. And the information that we're talking about here on the call today, the legal filing and additional information in the form of full press release, will be available online at UH Embryo Lawsuit. Again, that's all one word, uhembryolawsuit.com. Operator, I believe we have a question in the queue at this time. Let's go ahead and proceed.
Our first question comes from Sandy Lamott from CNN. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi there. Thanks for having me. When do you want this monitor to go into place? How quickly are you hoping this will happen?
I would like to see this happen as soon as possible. This has been going on for nearly a month now, and is they don't have anybody in there. So they should have been thinking about this, I would hope, and I would hope that they would be able to get someone in there within a matter of weeks.
When do you expect to get in front of the judge?
Well, I expect what I hope to do is that UH will come forward and they'll explain to the community what exactly it is that they are doing at this point. That's part of the problem. The community members do not know what policies and procedures they are following at this point, or who they've got overseeing this. From the information we have, they do not have an independent monitor. But what we hope is that this filing spurs them into coming clean with the community and being transparent about what is going on over there. If we need to get back in front of the judge and force them to do this, then we will do so within the next, probably sometime next week.
Do I get to ask another additional question?
Yes, sure. Go ahead.
Okay. I understand that the College of American Pathologists has come and done an analysis. They inspect these labs, and they've come and done an analysis. Are you familiar with what they have discovered?
We do not. I'm not sure that anybody knows what they've discovered yet. They have not released that.
Do you know when they might?
That is a question best directed to UH. We keep asking them, and they keep telling us soon. And that, as you can imagine, is pretty cold comfort to our clients.
Right. However, UH has been much more forthcoming than the Pacific Fertility Center in San Francisco, who I believe you're also representing clients there. Are you also hoping to do something there to push them?
Yes, indeed, we are. And I will agree with you that UH has been more transparent than Pacific Coast, and we are going to do something out in the Pacific Coast case as well. UH is better, but they're not good enough. Pacific is real, real bad. But when it comes to safeguarding eggs and embryos that families and individuals entrust to these institutions, good is not good enough. It has to be the best. And UH has not lived up to that standard, and Pacific has fallen woefully behind that standard.
Thank you.
Sure.
Operator, let's move to our next question.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and then one.
Operator, I'm sorry. I think I interrupted you while you were providing those instructions. So I want to make sure that reporters on the line have a chance to pose their questions to the attorneys that we have collected here on the call while they are together as a group here, while they are together as a team. I would encourage the reporters who have joined the call to pose questions while we have them available on the call today. Let's repeat the instructions one more time. In addition, I think we've had others join the call as we've been in the Q&A, so it would be helpful to repeat those instructions just one more time.
Absolutely. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and then one. To withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and then two. Again, that is star and then one.
Thanks, operator. While we're waiting for additional questions from those who have just joined and others who may have questions, I want to repeat that the information today, including the legal filing itself and the full news release, will be available after this call at uhembryolawsuit.com. Again, that's uhembryolawsuit, one word, .com. Operator, do we have additional questions at this time?
We do have an additional question. We have a question from Jim McCarty from the Plain Dealer in Cleveland. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi, Joe.
Hey, Jim.
Two-part question. Do you have a monitor in mind who you would recommend to the judge to appoint? And also, are you talking about a monitor who would oversee UH, or would they actually take part in the investigation?
I think there's – so let me break that down. As far as what we would see the monitor doing, again, we don't think that there was any problems with the doctors or the nurses over there at UH. We don't think there is it's necessary to have a monitor that oversees them. However, there was very significant problems. I mean, just devastating oversights and malfeasance when it comes to the storage tank area. So what we would envision is someone that would come in and oversee the program, the storage program, to be sure that nothing happens again. Like everyone probably on this call and everybody in this community has heard stories like this, but we've been taking these calls 14 hours a day, more or less, and the stories you hear are just devastating. People that have gone through IVF to because they had breast cancer, and their oncologist told them that biologically their eggs just aren't going to be the same after they go through the chemotherapy. And so they went through the IVF. They got viable embryos. They were preparing to have a family after she had beaten cancer, and then they come to find out their embryos are destroyed. There's many, many stories like that. In order for people to trust that they can go back to UH and that their embryos will be safely stored there, we really believe there needs to be an independent monitor that would come in and make sure that the policies and procedures are right and make sure that those policies and procedures are being followed. Now, to get to the first part of your question, who would that be? I think that needs to be a nationally recognized expert in the field. I don't want to be in the position of saying who exactly that should be. I'm a lawyer that's involved in this case. I would think that that would be something that the judge and UH and us would all discuss and hopefully come up with somebody who we can all agree upon. This really is something I think UH should want, frankly, because if you are considering going to get IVF treatment at UH, you need to know that when you go through the very difficult, both mentally, financially, and physically, process of the IVF cycle, that when you get to the end of that and your embryos and eggs are being stored, that you've got some safeguards there and somebody's watching over this, because they just have shown themselves as not being able to do that without somebody looking over them.
Okay, thank you.
Operator, do we have additional questions?
Sir, at this time, I'm showing no additional questions.
Okay. Well, before we move to closing thoughts from Joe, and I want to make sure he has a chance to provide some context and some takeaway from the call today for reporters who might be listening to the streaming audio recording later on today. Why don't we repeat instructions one more time? We'll see if we have additional questions one last time, and then we'll circle back and close up.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, you may press star and then one. To remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two.
Well, we're waiting to see if anybody queues in for one final question. I'd like to remind reporters listening on the streaming audio today that you can be connected with any of the speakers by contacting Patrick Mitchell at 703-276-3266. We can put you in touch with Joe and Lydia in Cleveland and some of the clients that they've been working with in Cleveland as well. Do we have additional questions at this time?
We do have a follow-up question that has joined from Jim McCarty from the Plain Dealer in Cleveland.
Okay.
Hi again. One last
hi,
thing.
Jim.
Hi, Joe. When do you expect to file this motion, and will it be under the heading of your client with Judge O'Donnell?
Good question. We expect to file this within, I would suspect, within the hour. We were just doing final proofs on it right before this call. When we will be in front of Judge O'Donnell, that depends to some degree on how UH reacts to this. It is my fondest hope that UH shares our goal of making sure that that this never happens again and that they have some oversight and that they are following the absolute best practices. If they don't agree with us on that, then we expect to be back in front of Judge O'Donnell probably sometime next week on this issue. It's just an important issue. We can't have a situation where we wake up again another day and we find out that more families have been affected and more embryos and eggs have been lost. This enough of a tragedy has taken place here. They need to take every step. It seems like in this case, they really didn't even have a backup plan. But when you're safeguarding this important of an asset or an opportunity for families, you have to have a backup plan to the backup plan to the backup plan. And that's what we want to ensure they are doing. And really, that's what they should want to do for people that come to them for this treatment.
Thank you.
Joe, with that, if you have any closing thoughts for the call today, and I would invite Lydia, too, if she has any closing thoughts for the call today, chime in, and then we'll close the call.
I guess in closing, all I would say is that we are trying to redress what happened here at UH and make sure that it never happens at UH again by calling for the changes at UH and the independent monitor at UH, as well as being able to
represent people and families and individuals who've been affected by this. We are also working with state and federal legislators to try and make sure that these standards are in place across the country. Right now, they are just suggestions and guidelines. We need rules and laws that they have to follow. And so we're working hard not only to redress what happened here, to make sure it never happens here again, but to make sure it doesn't happen anywhere else in the country. And that's because we have represented about a dozen families, even prior to the tragedy out at Pacific Coast and here in Cleveland, within these IVF cases where embryos or eggs were destroyed. And they're the most devastating emotional cases we handle in our office, and we handle big, difficult cases. It's our thought that we really never want to have to handle another one of these cases again. And that's what we're trying to do here, in addition to try and redress what happened in these specific instances. Thank you.
Thanks. Those were closing thoughts from Joe Piper, the managing shareholder at Piper, Roska, and Wolf. Now we'll hear some closing thoughts from attorney Lydia Floyd, who is the Cleveland-based attorney with PRW. Lydia?
As someone from Cleveland, I feel strongly that families and individuals who go through the IVF process, which is often the one point of many, many years of their fertility journey and their hopes of having children, never, ever have to wake up and find out that they have lost all of their hopes and dreams, that their eggs and embryos stored at an IVF clinic have been destroyed because of a freezer tank malfunction. We need change. We need redress for these families, and we need to make sure that policies and procedures are put in place at UH, and rules and laws are put in place throughout the country, so that no one has to live this nightmare again. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Those are the closing thoughts of the PRW attorney Lydia Floyd. As I said before, a streaming audio replay of this news event will be available later on this afternoon at uhembryolawsuit.com. I want to thank everyone for joining us for this news event hosted by PRW. That concludes today's news event. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude today's conference call. We thank you for attending. You may now disconnect your lines.